Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's going to be an hour of fun here on Late Night. You know it's not a good situation when you get here, 11:30, backpack in hand, you got your cans with you, a little notebook, some show prep done, and the producer looks at you and says, "Hey, didn't know you were going to be here tonight." That's always a welcome sound that you're looking for when you show up to the radio station, excited and primed to do an hour of thrilling radio here. Now, it shouldn't surprise me. I mean, the communication here for a business that prides itself, literally runs on communication. People that work in radio and in TV, right, they go to school for communications. You would consider radio itself the medium of radio, a form of communication. Yet a business, a radio station that prides itself on its ability to communicate effectively with you guys, the listeners, we struggle to communicate effectively inside these doors. And there's no other way to put it. I mean, it's not a knock on the station. It just is what it is.
Now, to be fair, I did look at the schedule just now, and it does say EEI Late Night at 11:30. But typically, on Monday Night Football, we kind of go right in from postgame into CBS afterwards.
It does. And let's be honest. You can look at that schedule and then compare it to what actually happens. 9 times out of 10, the schedule doesn't tell the entire story.
But it's always about how we respond to it, right? So what happened? You walk in. Oh, what's going on, Gilroy?
That's
and
it.
Next thing you know, here we go.
Boom, boom, boom. We're going to do an hour of late night fun here. Plenty of time and room for you guys at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And let's just get this out of the way real quick. I thoroughly enjoyed being in here Saturday afternoon with Fitzy. That was a tremendous amount of fun. I'm looking forward to coming back and doing that again next week. And then each and every following Saturday until station management says we've had enough. But for now, that's going to be a regularly scheduled Saturday thing. And I know Fitzy had a good time. I had a good time. And I really enjoyed the interaction with you guys. So it's a different feel. It's a different vibe. It's a different show than Late Night. You know, when you've got somebody else in the studio with you, bouncing ideas off of them, as opposed to just the microphone and myself and you guys. So it's a different vibe, a different show. Not to mention, it's very different doing anything here when the sun is still shining. So I'm glad to be back here on Late Night with you guys. I've got some things to say tonight, some Celtics-related things, some Patriot stuff coming up in a little while. But I do want to start the show off with a couple of thoughts here because, and look, we're going to get into this whole Celtics thing. Mark Murphy did an outstanding job. If you didn't check it out, I encourage you guys, be old school. Go buy an edition of today's Boston Herald. It's got a great cover on it. It's something you want to file away, put in a drawer, and pull out 10, 20 years from now if you're a Celtics fan. Mark Murphy did a fantastic job. Part one of a two-part series. Headline is "Seize the Day, Celtics Living Legends Discuss Life and Death." And it's these in-depth conversations with the Celtics from the 60s, the Celtics from the 50s, the players that made the Celtics dynasty what it is now. Because let's face it, I mean, they've lost quite a few of their brethren in the last couple of years, most recently John Havlicek earlier in the year, right? So these guys aren't going to live forever. And you saw Bill Russell show up to the John Havlicek funeral, aided by the help of his wife. He doesn't get around the way that he used to. Bob Cousy is 90 years old, went to the White House this year, got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I mean, these guys are still front and center, but it isn't the way that it used to be, and it will not be forever. I was sad to read about Casey Jones, still alive, but Casey Jones, his wife protects him from the media. So even some of his former Celtic teammates apparently have tried to reach out to him, talk to him, call him, and she won't allow them to talk to him. So his health is really in decline as well. And it's sad. It's just, it's the human element, and it's sad. But there is one part of the story that sort of makes me happy as a Celtics fan, and that is the story of Tommy Heinsohn. We'll get into that coming up in a few minutes here on the program. I want to talk about Tommy Heinsohn with you guys because the moment this thing hit the internet today, the moment the story hit the internet today, the Twitter people, the Twitter tough guys, really started laying into the whole Tommy Heinsohn situation here in Boston, where at 86 years old, I still think he's great. I still think Tommy Heinsohn should stick around for as long as he can physically do the job. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there on Twitter, on social media, these Twitter loudmouths that think that Scal is a better color guy for the Celtics right now, that they're done with Tommy Heinsohn. And to those people, they either must be millennials, stupid, or not Celtics fans. Because Scal's fine, and he's a great third man in, although I would rather look at Abby Chin than look at Brian Scalabrine. Both of them do a great job as the third man in. And Scal does a fine job on road games, because Tommy Heinsohn doesn't do road games anymore. But let's face it, the broadcast duo, if you're a Celtics fan, is Mike Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn. And I would love to hear from some people because nobody ever has the balls to talk about it. They only have the balls to tweet about it. But if somebody really has a problem with Tommy Heinsohn continuing to be Tommy Heinsohn on the Celtics broadcast, I would love to hear from you because from my perspective, part of staying young and part of your ability to stay young through your 80s and into your 90s is finding a purpose in life, finding the ability to continue working and doing something of meaning. And Tommy, I'm telling you, I've said this for years now, because when his wife died, 10 years ago, Tommy's health took a bit of a turn for the worse. Remember, he used to always talk about the redhead from Needham, Helen, in the broadcast. He would always drop her name. And then that came to an end after she died. And I always thought that Tommy Heinsohn, the moment he retires from broadcasting Celtics games, is going to be the moment that his health seriously declines and we eventually lose him. Because this is his identity. This is what Tommy Heinsohn loves to do. And he loves to still be in and around this Celtics team. The fact is, the guy is the mascot of this team. He is what Celtic basketball really is, the definition of what it is to be a Celtic. And it makes me physically sick when I see these people online, I see these people on Twitter, sort of pushing Tommy out the door. Is he as good as he was 10 years ago? Hell no. Is he as good as he was 20 years ago? Hell no. He's not even as good as he was 5 years ago. But that doesn't mean that he sucks. Go listen to some other teams' broadcasters. Go listen to some other teams' broadcast duos. And let me tell you something. Tommy is better than 90% of those guys out there. So we'll get into this whole Tommy Heinsohn conversation because I'm going to advocate for this guy for as long as he's physically able to do the job. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And also tonight, just before the show, there was some stuff going down on social media. LeBron James finally came out. He finally spoke about the whole NBA in China situation. And while he spoke, he didn't say much. And that speaks volumes for who the guy is that is LeBron James. You know, LeBron's in a bit of a tough spot, but LeBron has never been shy about using his celebrity, using his status in the NBA, using his stature out there to get a message across. All right, he is one of these guys that is politically active when it is convenient for him. And I love the fact that the Celtics and his canter sort of pushed back online tonight. So if you missed it, LeBron James comes out and he essentially defends Daryl Morey's position without saying it, in regards to the whole thing with the NBA in China last week. But then LeBron says, you know, Daryl should have waited a week. He should have waited for us to come and go, and then it would have been fine for him to send that tweet. But don't do it while the Lakers are over there. Don't do it while I'm over there. You screwed up my trip to China. That's essentially what LeBron said. LeBron found a way to make a problem with an entire country filled with a billion people about him. And it takes a very, very special type of ego to do that. It shouldn't surprise me that LeBron James is that guy with that ego. But I love the fact that Enes Kanter immediately pushed back tonight, because Enes is a guy, let's face it, you know, Enes is not afraid to speak his mind. Enes is a guy that has found himself in his own politically difficult situations with his home country in Turkey. And, you know, not for nothing, but Enes Kanter getting into it with LeBron tonight on Twitter because of LeBron's unwillingness to take a stand on the whole NBA and China situation. You know, Kanter literally lives every single day of his life in fear of being extradited, being imprisoned, possibly killed by his home country in Turkey. Yet he doesn't shut up. He's not afraid of it. He's a guy that is willing and able to speak his mind when he feels like it's right. The problem is, Enes Kanter is Enes Kanter. So when he speaks his mind, it doesn't carry near the same weight that LeBron James is able to carry, because he's LeBron James, and when he speaks, people listen. The only gift that I want, and apparently there was a players-only meeting, and apparently Kyrie Irving was a part of that meeting. The gift that I want is I want Kyrie Irving to speak on this. I want to hear the expert on everything, the smartest guy in the room, Kyrie Irving, try to explain this one with the way that he speaks, because he's one of those guys that when he does speak, he is going to make no sense whatsoever, yet he literally believes that he can solve all of the world's problems just if we just listen to him. The only mistake that we make is our unwillingness and our inability to listen to Kyrie Irving. So we'll get into some of this a little bit later in the program. I do want to open the show tonight talking about the whole thing with Tommy Heinsohn, talking about the Celtics broadcast booth, and talking about it with you guys here at 617-779-7937. At 39 years old, I've never known really another broadcast booth than the one that we have today. So Mike Gorman, Tommy Heinsohn, they've been around for my entire life. When I was growing up, Celtics road games, it was Tommy Heinsohn and Bob Cousy, right? But Mike and Tommy have always been the dominant duo doing it from the Garden. About 5-6 years ago, Tommy stopped traveling with the team because of his declining health, because of his age, because of his inability to get around with the same type of mobility that he once got around with. But I love the fact that he still makes it to Burlington, to NBC Sports Boston, to do the road games. He's in studio. He's a part of the broadcast up to 82 games a year. Last year, he missed a bunch of time because he was hospitalized with some breathing issues. But if it's up to Tommy Heinsohn, as of right now, whether it is calling the games from the Garden or doing the games, the studio work, so pregame, halftime, postgame, doing it from the studio in Burlington, Tommy Heinsohn wants to be involved, and I love that. The people on Twitter that I dealt with today, you guys can all go to hell. I mean, if you don't value what he does, if you don't think that he does a good job calling these Celtics games, A, I encourage you to listen to other teams' broadcasts, and then you might change your mind, you might change your opinion. Or B, yeah, if you think that Brian Scalabrine does a better job than Tommy Heinsohn, maybe you need to learn a little something about basketball, because Tommy, even at 70% of what he used to be, he knows more about hoops than Scal will ever know. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight, 617-779-7937. It's only an hour show tonight, so because of that, we'll go to the calls right away, early and often here tonight. We'll hear from as many of you guys as possible, opening the show tonight, talking about the Celtics, talking about this great piece that Mark Murphy wrote in the Herald today, part one of a two-part series, Seize the Day, Celtics Living Legends Discuss Life and Health, and it's all about the great Celtics that are left from the dynasty of the late 50s in through the 60s up to 69. You know, there's only a handful of these guys left, and they're all facing their own mortality. Yet Tommy Heinsohn continues to plug along and continues to be front and center while his brethren, while his teammates, guys he played with, guys he coached, unfortunately, their time on this earth is really starting to run out. Meanwhile, Tommy, he just keeps on plugging away. So let's get out to these calls. Let's go to Rick. Rick's in Plymouth. Rick, you're first up here on WEI tonight.
How are you doing tonight, Pat? I want to go to bat for Tommy here a little bit. I mean, look, I'm old school. I'm 60 years old this year. I go back to Johnny Most on the radio with Glenn Ordway and Johnny, and it's been Mike and Tommy for a long time for me. And listen, I've lost a few announcers lately. We lost the great Gil Santos a while back. I mean, the heart and soul of the Patriots radio. And look, I may be a dinosaur, but these guys know the game. They're not a PC robots. They don't have to conform to anything because they basically know what they're doing. I mean, Tommy, nobody calls out officials like Tommy does. I mean, dear God, Jake O'Donnell and Jack Madden may hate this guy more than anybody else. And I know there's nobody under the age of 50 that even know who Jake O'Donnell and Jack Madden are,
That's part of the whole Tommy Heinsohn experience, though. You know that he's still going to get into it with the refs, and he's still going to tell you how he feels. And I love that. And look, I'll give you an example. I loved Don Orsillo when he did the Red Sox radio, Red Sox TV, right? But he went out to California, and he's doing Padres games. If you didn't listen to him in Boston, you would think that he has been a Padres guy his entire career. My point is, even guys that we like and respect, they're robotic about their job. They can go from market to market, and it doesn't matter to them because they're professionals. Tommy Heinsohn, at this stage in his career, he could never go do play-by-play or color for another basketball team, nor would he want to, because he is a Celtic at this stage in the game. And I feel like that's missing in today's television and radio broadcasts, and that used to be the norm. You brought up Johnny Most. He was a Celtic. He didn't want to do it
before
for anybody else.
Before you cut me off, there is one point I'd like to make. There's three announcers I got left. Joe Castig, Rem Dog, and Tommy Heinsohn and Mike Gorman. There's four.
Yep.
But I mean, once I lose these guys, I may never watch sports again, honestly, because the announcers kill me. I'm sorry. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't do their homework. And by the way, Jerry Remy tells the best road stories of any announcer in Boston Red Sox history. I mean, the talk about the food, the hotels, the games they used to play. Him and Eka hilarious together. That's another one I don't want to lose. I love this guy. He brings Red Sox announcing from the pitcher standpoint. No one's ever done that before. But Heinsohn's just old school. I love old school. I know I'm a dinosaur. I throw my hat in, but I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys can call it as long as they can physically do it. And I have no problem with it.
And I love the fact, Rick, that you call yourself a dinosaur because you're 60. I'm 39. I guess I'm a dinosaur as well. I don't want to see other guys do the job. I don't. And look, Brian Scalabrine, he's good at what he does. He doesn't suck. There's no doubt about that. But Brian Scalabrine is no Tommy Heinsohn. And there's no getting around that fact. The fact is, to me, when I read this today, it sounded like Tommy wants to continue doing this for as long as his health will allow him to do it. And I love that. Even Mike Gorman, who's 69 years old, is already thinking about the end for himself. Tommy Heinsohn is 17 years older than Mike, and Tommy doesn't think about the end anymore. He just wants to keep doing it until he physically can't do it anymore. And again, it's the damn Twitter tough guys that piss me off. Going on Twitter today, reading what people had to say about Tommy and the skill in which he does his job really got to me, because Tommy's a guy, I give him so much credit. The NBA is an ever-changing landscape. These teams, especially in today's day and age, it's not like it was when he was playing. It's not like it was when he was coaching. No, back then, your team, for the most part, stayed together year after year after year, and you made subtle changes and tweaked your roster. But free agency wasn't a thing, and guys weren't demanding to be traded and forcing their way out of situations. Meanwhile, the Celtics, when you look at what they were last year compared to this year, I mean, there's no more Kyrie Irving, no more Terry Rozier. You look at no more Marcus Morris, no more Aaron Baines. And that's just a few off the top of my head. They're a very different team. The team a couple of years ago that went to the conference finals with Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas in IT's last year here. They only brought back 4 out of 15 players the next year. That's 11 player turnover. That doesn't happen. That never happened when Tommy was playing or coaching. Yet Tommy, at his advanced age, got to know all the new players, got to know their history, got to know where they came from, got to know what they're good at, what they're not good at, strengths and weaknesses. And by the time you watch him in preseason game number one, he knows everything that he needs to know. Because at 86 years old, he puts in the work so much more so than these young guys do today. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight, 617-779-7937. Let's go to the calls here. Let's go to Suzanne. Susan's in New Jersey. Susan, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm always listening to DEI, even though I live here, and my heart sunk that anybody would be cowardly enough to pick on somebody on Twitter. I can't stand that whole format. But this, Tommy Heinsohn, I remember, I'm 62 now, so I'm a dinosaur. And I remember going to games, and he would be red in the face and running up and down the sidelines and screaming at the refs, and he still screams at the refs, and he hasn't changed. And he's only gotten more knowledge and more expertise that he can share from his perspective and all the different hats he's worn. And you don't throw somebody away when they've got so much to offer. And I live in Jersey, and I have to listen to these New York announcers. They wish they could remember what Tommy Heinsohn has forgotten.
Yeah,
wish they had that expertise.
You're so right.
The poems and the stupidity and their voices. I can't. I, I, it. I'm almost speechless, which is rare for me. I'm 40 years retired teacher, but I just, it's horrific.
No, and, I agree with you. It's hard to read. And look, if you want to stay away from it, stay away from it. If you want to read what I'm talking about, go on Twitter and search Tommy's name and you'll see what I'm talking about. And, you know, I know because of where some of these people are tweeting from that a lot of these people are Bostonians. These are people that claim to be Celtics fans that don't enjoy what he does.
What is the matter with these guys?
Exactly. What is the matter with it? Tommy is a guy at eight. You know, you tell me another guy in his 80s that still sounds like that. 86 years old. And he is the type of guy, though. And this, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If he were to be forced out the door, if Celtic management or if NBC Sports Boston were ever to go to Tommy and say, you know what, T, you know, we appreciate your time here, but Scal's going to take over full time. Tommy would pass away within 6 months. This is his life. And for the longer he does this, the longer he's going to live for and live a meaningful, impactful life. And reading this entire piece today by Mark Murphy, simply outstanding. I'm glad he's going to do. There's another part of this coming, I believe, tomorrow. Today was part one of a two-part series. It really puts everything into perspective, because when you think about these guys and you think about where they are now health-wise and you consider where Tommy is compared to these guys health and age-wise, Tommy's older than a lot of them, yet he's in much better health than a lot of them. And I give that a lot of that credit goes to Tommy continuing to work and continuing to do his job. But again, you know, I knew this was going to happen. The calls we'll get tonight are in support of Tommy Heinsohn, yet the hundreds of Twitter tough guys that come out there and they piss all over his work ethic and they piss all over his ability to call a modern-day NBA game, they never are willing to have the conversation. They are never willing to actually have the debate and the discussion, because on Twitter, there is really no – you don't have to engage anybody else. You can stick around with like-minded people, and if somebody doesn't like what you have to say, you're not forced to debate back. But here in this environment, especially with me, I mean, I'll kick your ass. It's as simple as that. I know more, I've done more, I've achieved more, and I respect what Tommy Heinsohn's done more. It's not even debatable. And look, I'm a Scal guy. I think Scal's talented. And eventually when Tommy goes away, I'm going to have no problem with Scal being the Celtics color guy. But I'm not in a rush to replace Tommy Heinsohn with Brian Scalabrine. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion, start to work in some Patriots thoughts as well. Tom Brady on the station today on the Greg Hill Morning Show. He had some things to say. We'll get into that, and we'll also talk about the Celtics and it comes to their opening of their regular season. It's next week, guys. A week from Wednesday, the Celtics open up the regular season. They're 3-0 in exhibition play. What the hell does it mean? They've blown out their last two opponents. They look really good, but it's preseason basketball. Does it mean anything to you? It means something to me. We'll talk about that and more with you guys when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we'll make our way together up until 1 o'clock this morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we spent that first segment talking about Tommy Heinsohn, his place with the Celtics, his place and, you know, his ability to continue to do his job. Part two of this incredible piece that Mark Murphy's doing for the Herald will come out tomorrow, where he's talking to all these Celtics old-timers from the 50s and 60s up through 69. So the days of the Celtics' legit dynasty, 11 championships, a lot of those guys, unfortunately, are fading away. Mark Murphy is connected with quite a few of them, and it's a pretty touching story about these once great athletes, these guys that were considered immortals, all facing their mortality and doing it in unique and different ways. It is a must read if you are a Celtics fan. So we can continue talking about that, as well as the Celtics in general. They're 3-0 in the preseason. As a Celtics guy, I'm looking for excuses and reasons to believe in this team, especially after the disappointment that was last year. And a 3-0 preseason, I'm not going to allow myself to get too excited about it. There have been some very positive signs, absolutely blowing the doors off the Cavaliers, blowing the doors off of the Magic. Again, two teams that aren't supposed to be very good at all in general. You combine that with the fact that it's preseason basketball, and I temper my expectations, but there have been some positive signs from this Celtics team. But again, you know, this is where I depend on you guys out there to sort of rein me back in a little bit, because I'm the same guy that when they swept the Pacers last year, I got teased. I got excited. They swept the Pacers, then they won game one on the road in Milwaukee against the heavily favored Bucks, and I really bought in. So I'm really going to try to take this success in the preseason, take the way that this team appears to be gelling. There appears to be some team continuity, unity, and this camaraderie that did not exist last year. If you watch these guys on the bench, they're all pulling for each other. I know that's one of those things that's not really measurable, but to me it matters, especially considering what this team was like last year. Impossible to root for when they can't even root for each other. So if you've been watching and paying attention to the Celtics throughout the preseason, one preseason game left comes your way tomorrow night, and then the Celtics open up the regular season a week from Wednesday in Philadelphia. Their home opener is a week from Friday at home against the defending world champion Toronto Raptors. Has there been new reason for optimism based on what we've seen from the preseason? We'll get into that with you guys as well at 617-779-7937. Until then, we will get back out to the phone calls. Let's go to Mark. Mark's in New Hampshire. Mark, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi, how are you? Let me take out speakerphone.
Sure, Mark.
I want to talk about Tom Brady, but I didn't realize the subject was the Celtics. I did read that piece in the Herald today. I thought it was excellent.
It was very touching.
Yeah, it was. I thought so. You know, especially with Cousy talking about Havlicek and being there in his wake, and not his wake, but his funeral, you know, it was terrible.
And Cousy talked about his inability to go to wakes anymore. He can't do it. He won't do it.
Oh, right. He can't do it. No, he can't go. Yeah,
He's been to too many. It's too hard for him. And by the way, Mark, it's late night, so it's kind of a free-for-all. So if you have a Patriots thought, by all means, you can address that as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think Tom Brady will play at least 45. What do you think?
You know, I've said that all along, and I say it for a couple of reasons. A, people are overreacting to, I guess, what they're considering his struggles here the last couple of weeks. I don't really see 31 of 41 with 300-something yards struggling like he had last week. But when you grade him on the Tom Brady scale, I guess it's not as good as what we've come to expect, but there's some other circumstances happening with him. But to me, physically, he looks great. He looks, you know, he's got three rushing touchdowns, and to me, that tells me that physically, he feels fine. What we're seeing from him and his inefficiency in the last few weeks has nothing to do with his age, has nothing to do with his physical ability.
I agree, and I think he's in the best shape of his life, and if he couldn't play, Belichick wouldn't play him. You know, I mean, as simple as that.
It's a huge part of it. Belichick is not going to be shy about it, Mark. Tom Brady to 45, I'm all in. If only because that's the number that he said a few times. But again, you have to consider the business, the TB12 method, the TB12 philosophy, and the TB12 centers that he has. If he can play effectively and play at a very high level until he's 45 years old, he essentially has found the fountain of youth, and he can charge whatever he wants for that. That is going to be the next 30 years of his life, is those TB12 centers. He's really said that that's what he wants to do. He envisions these things opening up all around the country. Well, if he falls off the side of the planet and retires at 42 years old, it's still an amazing achievement, what he's been able to do. But if he plays to 45 and he plays on a high level until he's 45 years old, my God, that's something really nobody's ever done before. And you combine that with the fact that when you look at him, he literally looks like his face looks like he is aging in reverse, Benjamin Button all the way. You combine all those things, and people that have the means to spend that kind of money, everybody, read the piece by Mark Murphy in the Herald today about the aging Celtics. Everybody is looking for a damn fountain of youth. And if Tom Brady can sell that magic elixir, let's not forget here. You know, I got to be very careful how I parse my words, but Tom's best friend, Tom's trainer, the godfather of his children, is the same guy that sold Supreme Greens overnight on infomercials telling people that were dying of cancer and AIDS that if you take my capsules, your AIDS will go away. This is what Alex Guerrero did. This is what got him in trouble. He is not a doctor, yet he put on a doctor's suit, and he got on TV, and he scammed money from old people, scammed money from the dying, scammed money from people that were at the weakest and worst points in their lives. Not saying that Tom has got the complete lack of morals that this guy has, but Guerrero is also an owner in the TB12 product. He's also an owner in these TB12 centers. Alex Guerrero has got Fountain of Youth Magic Elixir infomercial written all over him. And the longer Tom Brady pays, the more of a premium people will pay for that Magic Elixir, for that formula, for that regimen, for the food, for the types of workouts that you need to do to go to that center. It's going to be something of exclusivity if you go there. And people are really going to genuinely believe that they can reverse the clock on aging. And who better to sell it than Tom Brady, who appears to have has successfully reversed the clock on aging, and a guy that has already been down that road, gotten in trouble with all the legal authorities, and he's come out on the other side. A guy that clearly has no morals, no scruples, and is unafraid to get on TV and lie to you and say, here, take my Supreme Greens, your AIDS will disappear. Take my Supreme Greens, your cancer will go away. And I'm going to charge you an arm and a leg. You're going to give me a credit card, and I'm going to bill it automatically each and every month, whether you need the stuff or want the stuff. That was his business plan, and that is the godfather to Tom Brady's children. So make no mistake about it. There is a formula for sale here, and that formula is much more valuable the longer that Tom Brady plays, and plays at a very high level. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Of course, we can mix in some of your Patriots, some of your Tom Brady thoughts as well. And, you know, to that caller, Tom Brady, it's pretty incredible when you look at what he's doing at his advanced age. You know, the world loves to get on Patrick Mahomes. They love Patrick Mahomes. If you listen to or you watch the national shows, you listen to Colin Cowherd, you listen to Nick Wright, you watch these guys, they can't get enough of Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is an amazing talent. But Patrick Mahomes has lost 4 out of his last 7 home games. You realize that? 4 out of his last 7 home games have been losses for Pat Mahomes. Meanwhile, Tom Brady at 42 years old has lost just 4 of his last 34 home games. It's stupid. It's incredible to see what he's doing right now. And we do. I guess we grade him on the Brady curve. We grade him on the Brady curve because when we look at what he does on a week-in and week-out basis, we no longer compare him to the rest of the field when it comes to the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL. That's not how we here in New England are judging whether he's successful or not. We're judging him, unfortunately, against himself. And that is an unfair way to judge this guy moving forward. It really is. When he is the standard that you must judge him up against, it's not fair. He's been that good for that long. But when you think about that and you listen to the way that the people out there that cover the NFL, the pundits, kiss the ass of Pat Mahomes and they can't get enough of him, Patrick Mahomes has lost 4 out of his last 7 home games. Tom Brady's lost 4 out of his last 34 home games.
Pat, could you imagine if Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers was 6-0 right now with Brady's lack of weapons and his lack of O-line? I know the defense is great, but all the trolls out there, the Shannon Sharps, the Rob Parkers, all of them, they would be kissing the ass of those players. But instead, you know, Brady sucks right now.
Yeah, he sucks. When you look at his numbers don't suck. And, you know, I guess what the eye test is that Tom Brady isn't quite the same that he used to be. But I said it all summer long and nobody wanted to listen to me because we're so used to watching Tom Brady be able to overcome everything. And eventually he will. The fact is this, he lost the greatest tight end ever to play the position. All right, greatest tight end in the history of football. Tom Brady lost him. That was Binky 1A or Binky 1B when you look at Gronk and Edelman. It's going to take some time for this team to adjust, to find some new weapons, and for Tom Brady to find a comfort zone. I said it the entire offseason. Nobody wanted to hear it. But the fact is, Tom Brady is 6-0. He's only lost 4 out of his last 34 home games. And get this, Tom Brady has 3 rushing touchdowns. I know that they're just short rushes, but when Tom Brady is comfortable going in for that 1 or 2 yard little head dive in to the end zone that we used to see him do so much more when he was younger, it tells me that he feels very good about his health right now. He's unafraid. In years past, when he's had a shoulder issue, had a knee issue, he wouldn't do that quite as much. Tom Brady has more rushing touchdowns this year than the Miami Dolphins have touchdowns as a whole, no matter what kind of touchdown. Tom Brady has more rushing touchdowns than the Dolphins have touchdowns overall. It's crazy to see what he's doing right now at 42 years old. But I'm telling you, he's going to play to 45. If he doesn't play here, he'll play somewhere else. He's got too much money riding on the whole TB12 philosophy, TB12 method, and TB12 centers. He knows, and Guerrero knows, that the value of that entire business shoots up exponentially the longer that he plays at a very high level. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more here before the break. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Paul, you're next up here on WEI. Paul. You know what? We're going to get rid of Paul there. If Paul can get with the program, there's still plenty of time and room for him. But sometimes Paul does that. Sometimes Paul calls after he's had a couple of drinks and he's in his hot tub. And things don't always go so well in that situation.
Well, the funniest part when Paul calls is that the call screener, it goes off, and I just see a random number, and I go, EEI, what's your name, where are you calling from, whatever. And then he goes, you know who it is. No, I don't know who it is. There's no name or number. There's no name all the time there. But, yeah, sometimes Paul's a little slow on the dial there.
I love that. So, Paul in Westfield, if you got thoughts, we do have time for you. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys when we come back. It's 617-779-7937.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, for me, he's, you know, a spectacular player, and he's one of the, you know, he'll be in the Patriot Hall of Fame. So, and he could be, you know, a Pro Football Hall of Famer too at some point. So,
it's Tom Brady right there. Talking about Julian Edelman, and there's no doubt, if Jules were to get some sort of a career-ending injury coming up, say on Monday against the Jets, and he never played again, he's already 1,000% going to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame someday. But he's going to play another 5 or 6 years, I think, at a relatively high level to really get a legitimate sniff at the NFL Hall of Fame. But the fact is, the way that he is disrespected around the league, I'm glad that Tom is coming to his defense. Yeah, I'm sick of these guys being considered system players in Tom Brady's system here. The fact is, Wes Welker, when he went out to the Broncos, he was somebody that when he came here from the Dolphins, he was not a very good receiver. Tom Brady, the Patriots, they made him what he was. But when he went to the Broncos, that first year, he was still a very dominant slot guy. That was with the concussion issues. Year number two, he was all done. The head had been banged around too much. That helmet was something from outer space, and it was all over. Same thing here with Edelman. Edelman, if he stays healthy and he played somewhere else next year at the same health he's got right now, he would still be a very effective, efficient, and high-volume type of receiver. Is he a sexy, you know, 6'5", stretch-the-field, Randy Moss type of receiver? No, he's not. He's never going to be that guy. He's never been that guy. But I will tell you this. In a perfect world, the Patriots would love to go get a guy like Danny Amendola back or a guy that plays in a similar inside sort of way that what Edelman plays to, and an Amendola would have been a perfect solution because they actually want to see Julian Edelman play on the outside a little bit more than he's able to play on the outside right now. But the fact is, Jules is widely underrated across the NFL because he gets the benefit of the doubt for playing with a guy like Tom Brady. I hope that he gets rewarded when his career is over and those aren't points taken against him because he had the privilege and the luxury of playing with TB12. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. Still some time and room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's give Paul one more try. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Gilroy, can you hear me now?
I got you now, Paul.
No, finally, Gilroy has come back. And Patrick, I have three quick questions.
What you got?
May I get a quick and brief answer on all three from the wizard himself?
We'll try.
This is unequivocally, positively, absolutely, and certainly a new era in basketball. LeBron curse done. Golden State let Durant go to Brooklyn. Not too golden. And the world champion Raptors, with their new crew and the greatest player on the planet, sent him and another player away. Is it fair to say this is the first time we are dynasty and LeBron-itis free, and this team has a chance to really emerge and do something in a new era?
Yeah, so the NBA right now, if you're a basketball guy like you are, like I am, the NBA is pretty wide open right now. There's a chance that a team like the Bucks will, with Giannis, will really take their next step in their progression, but I don't think they will. So I still think they'll be a very good team, 55-60 type wins, but not an unbeatable team. Look in the Western Conference, Paul. You've got a very good team in the Clippers. The Lakers will be a very good team, but you've already seen Anthony Davis dealing with a thumb injury during the preseason. The problem with AD, and what I told Celtics fans, you know, that really wanted to trade the farm for Anthony Davis, was he's a great player, top five player in the NBA. But he's constantly hurt. And when you think about the age and the miles on LeBron, and you think about the percentage chances that Anthony Davis will miss a significant chunk of time with an injury, odds are the Lakers are going to have a health issue at some point this year. So the season is wide open for any team that's got the right crop of young talent to really be able to surprise a bunch of people and maybe take a giant leap. Look at a team like the Sixers. Look at a team like the Celtics, a team like the Clippers. These teams all have the potential, if things go well, to represent their conference in the finals.
Right, a new era. And don't forget what Milwaukee did and the Greek Freak. So the next question, the critics of Tom Brady with their birth certificate, 0.1 of a gram piece of paper factor, means nothing. However, the left tackle, Brian brought up, is a turnstile. And getting cream from the side and the front and the back with no front line, that puts pressure and makes it difficult. Yeah, he put up the numbers. Quick question. Why doesn't Tom have something in his helmet so when the left tackle gets beat every other play, it beep, 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 and he hits the deck? Isn't that technology available for someone like a quarterback?
Yeah, you would think, but the NFL's been really cracking down on the type of communication that's allowed on the sidelines. So maybe 10 years ago you could have got away with something, but especially with the Patriots, I mean, the Patriots have to be extra careful with any sort of extra communication that they're trying to give their players.
Correct. And the third question is directed first at a comment you made about Antonio Brown. No, you're not a homer, and no, you're not wrong. We have a new summary of facts. The girl's case was thrown out of federal court because the $30,000 in back taxes, the $300,000 for mom's house, the repeated interactions with him while she's traumatized doesn't add up. You throw in a tweet, something that he makes money off of, because classified ads don't exist. They don't make millions off advertising. They make millions off reshares and tweets. It's an economic, what you call, smartphone era. Can the Patriots say, look it, let's just put a hardship and the ego aside and look at the potential talent and what he represents to bring us up? Since we got to pay him, let play him. What's the problem?
So this is what I talked about with Fitzy on Saturday during our new show. And Fitzy is dead against bringing AB back. He is a Patriots purist. But here's the deal. In a perfect world, the Patriots will be able to find a way to free up a little bit of money and potentially trade for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders or a guy like Sanu. These guys could potentially be available, and maybe they help solve the Patriots problem. They are maybe 70% of what an AB can give you physically, if AB is psychologically right. But let's say the Patriots aren't able to effectively free up that money. Let's say the Patriots aren't able to trade for one of these guys. Well, then that still leaves Tom Brady at 42 years old with, even if he is playing at 90% of his best version of himself, it doesn't make a difference. He is still 42 years old, meaning his window, his time is still limited. So you still want to give him the best possible kick at the can to win another Super Bowl this year. The fact is, this team is 6-0. There is so much parity in the NFL. It is so wide open that this is just another great opportunity for the Patriots to march through the playoffs. And once upon a time, I feel like there was a genuine belief that they would trade for another receiver, and there was a better than 50% chance that Gronk was going to come back. And if you had done those two things, well, now you've solved your receiving issues. Neither one of those things are probably going to happen. The Patriots are bringing back Ben Watson. I believe it's going to be at a much lower number cap-wise, so they still have flexibility to potentially make a move. But they are in cap hell right now, and they're likely going to be paying AB $9 million. They're not going to get out of paying him that. So if they find themselves in a situation come week eight, remember, the key to this whole thing, in my opinion, is right now, AB, he's looking for some sort of clarification, some sort of clarity from the NFL. If the NFL is able to effectively tell him at some point in the next couple of weeks, hey, look, AB, we don't like what you've done here. We don't love what you've done here. You got to do this differently, this differently, this differently, but you've done nothing worthy of being suspended. If he gets that sort of message from the NFL and he is asking for that clarity right now because he wants to play again, if the NFL delivers that mandate to him and says, hey, we are not going to suspend you, then the Patriots would be silly to have such a giant gaping need for a receiver, a difference-making receiver. He's out there. You're paying him anyways. You're in cap hell, so you can't really go out there and get anybody else. Meanwhile, talent-wise, you've got the best, quite possibly the best receiver in the NFL today, and you're paying him, and you're not going to bring him back in because of some issues with people off the field. No, you got to do it. You got to sell your soul a little bit. Every once in a while, you have to do it. And I think the Patriots might find themselves in that position no matter what the Patriot purists think. So this has been fun, a one-hour edition of Late Night. You guys want to stay tuned? You got CBS Sports Radio. That comes your way next. I am traveling for the Original Gourmet Food Company. Going to go hawk some lollipops. I'll be back here on Saturday with Fitzy at 2 o'clock. So until then, enjoy your week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.